Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When I saw this short fat guy stretch a band between his toes, hey, I laughed so hard cause the band got down when it finally reached his nose.
I'm wanting to appoint Shayna Alford. She's to the Marine Advisory Committee. I believe Ms. Alford's going to be a great addition to this. And if you want to know who she is, tune in tonight at 8 o'clock. And she's the star of the show. She is very industrious, a very intelligent young lady. And I believe she even has a degree in marine biology.
So this is Kerry Smith. He is the commissioner for Santa Rosa County. District 2 took over for Bob Cole. That's the Milton area. And doing a very routine thing in a very boring meeting that lasted only, I think the regular Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday, putting aside the public forum, I think it might have been like 25 minutes. I don't know. The city council meeting, I didn't actually watch it last night, but I know it was brief too. You know, kind of looked up, oh, it's over. All right, fair enough. So Kerry Smith's putting up Shayna Marie Alford for the Marine Advisory Committee. They do a lot of important work, but they're kind of out of the limelight. It's just, you know, people who care about the, you know, water in this area, and they get together and they give advice, and then the county commission makes their decisions. And, you know, it's the kind of board that you kind of always struggle a little bit to staff, you know, and finding people who are going to volunteer. And, you know, one person's going away, so they're having to put somebody else up there. And what he was talking about is that this Shayna Marie Alford, who I do not know, there's a lot of people I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know who she is prior to all this. She was going to be on a special last night, according to Commissioner Smith, that she was going to be on a special on WSRE that was all about water quality and oyster degradation and their bays and just, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So she's, you know, a local expert, right? You know, she's somebody that kind of knows her stuff. So he says, let's have her on the board. She's a perfect person for it.
But I'd like to make a motion to bring her on without objection.
Mr. Chair, object?
No. Of course. Okay, so James Calkins, Mr. No, it says, well, there's Dr. No, but that villain name already taken.
Sure.
And I don't think he's a doctor.
That's right. You don't know if there's dissertation.
I'm pretty sure. So he says no, and then he gave his reason.
So I did a little research I just want to tell you what I read. Shayna Marie Alford is affiliated with the Florida Democratic Party. Respectfully, I will not vote for a Democrat to be appointed on any board in Santa Rosa County.
What in the world? Like, no Democrat ever? They're just banned from volunteering to help make things run well because they happen to have a D behind their name? I mean, look, I'm a fairly partisan person, but I'm also recognize that there's a lot of good, intelligent, capable people who disagree with me about political matters to have a different party affiliation who I would let them watch my kids. I would trust them with my money. I would, you know, like, and if you're putting them on a political board to because of their expertise, I mean, what is marine biology and oysters have to do with whether they're in favor of large or small government? And, you know, like, it's just, I don't get the connection. So, and I don't know, it just struck me weird. I mean, it shouldn't strike me weird as, you know, James Calkins is, I mean, he's just such a, you know, diehard, you know, like everything is R&D and that's the whole world divides down these bright lines. Like, I don't know, lots of my best friends are liberals, Democrats. I mean, I don't let politics get in the way like that. Okay, so he says I object because I ain't voting for no Democrat. Kerry Smith, back to him.
Okay, I'll make a motion to accept her on this board and looking for a second.
I'll second that. I'll do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do the right thing. I'll put a capable, decent person. And again, I don't know her other than her bare qualifications and what they've said about her. And neither does James, except he found she's got a D behind her name. And what does that matter for a nonpartisan board like this, right? Okay, so Ray Eddington, Commissioner District 4, gave the longest, most impassioned speech I've heard him give.
Mr. Chairman, can I speak for a minute?
Absolutely, sir.
I hear a lot of this stuff about Democrats, Republicans, and it don't matter what party you are. If you do the right thing for the people of Santa Rosa, I think we should allow her to try. I don't have a problem with that. I'd vote for her to come on board. But we got to give these people a chance to prove themselves to all of us. And that's everybody, Republican, Democrats, it don't matter. We all are equal. We all no better than anybody else. We are equal. Thanks, sir.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Like, yes, exactly. We live in a county. Santa Rosa County is a highly Republican county. But, you know, if you're a Republican and you happen to live in a Democrat county, wouldn't you want the opportunity to be able to serve if you knew something were capable? Wouldn't you want them to say, well, yeah, you seem like a good person, regardless of the fact that you're a Republican, because what does that have to do with being on the Marine Advisory Committee, of all things? It's a weird stance to take. And as you would expect, he tripled down on the claim.
I just want to say I think our community would be outraged to understand, to know that this board is putting Democrats on boards. They're infiltrating a lot of things in this county. And
it's infiltrating if you're spelling it home.
They're actually donating to some members of this board. And so I will stand up for, there's 80,000 Republicans to choose from that are well qualified, that understand the Marine. And so I would absolutely say that we need to do everything we can.
Well, how many of those 80,000 are coming forward to volunteer to demonstrate their great understanding of the Marine? You know, because that's always the question, is finding enough people. She's clearly an expert. Literally the only thing he's got against her is that she's got a D behind her name. But she's infiltrating. You know, like she's part of the great invasion of the secret Democrats taking over the world. And
the Democratic Party is the most evil party in this country. It shouldn't even be a party. And I find it interesting.
This is Commissioner Calkins still.
That we are even debating this. Ron DeSantis would never appoint a Democrat.
Oh, my God.
Most Republicans in this state would never appoint or push for a Democrat. And we should honor our citizens. We have real rhinos that are truly sitting. And so I'm going to make my point clear. And
I think you've made your point perfectly
and
clear.
And respectfully, I think this is going to be a
vote. Has everyone voted?
Vote.
So let's deal with this as a truth claim, is what we'd call it in philosophy. You made a claim about a fact, and you said that a real Republican would never let a Democrat be nominated to a board, would never nominate a Democrat to a board, because the realist of all the Republicans, Governor DeSantis, I'm not sure where he, because historically he's been a realist of all Republicans is Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump was never much of a Republican until he ran for president. But okay, fine. You know, the realist of all the now Republicans, Governor DeSantis, would never, never, ever appoint somebody who's a Democrat to a major position of influence, right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the name Jared Moskowitz? Anybody remember the name Jared Moskowitz? Jared Moskowitz is a current U.S. congressman from Florida's 23rd district. Just went in the last year, this year, 2023, in January. He was the Florida Division of Emergency Management director for 2 years under, what's the name? Governor DeSantis, 2019 to 2021. That's right. He was the guy who ran all the emergency response in the entire state of Florida. Okay, so when there was a hurricane or a disaster or a flood or whatever, you know, Jared Moskowitz is your guy. Very capable, you know, during COVID, okay, he was the one to help, you know, get vaccines delivered and respond to, I noticed Sally, and I think, I can't remember when Ian hit, maybe I'm wrong about Ian, but, you know, by all regards, a very capable administrator. And again, he ran DEM for the state of Florida for about 3 years. Democrat. Oops!
Yeah, but Dr. Calkins.
No, he's all but dissertation. So ABD Calkins, that's why, you know.
So, Dr. Pepper.
So we actually have a really obvious real-life example of it being false that Governor DeSantis would not have in charge of anything serious a Democrat, because he, like, can I say it, all real Republicans, Mr. Calkins, recognize that partisan is not the end-all be-all of everything. Because, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think what it means to be an American is to cherish the differences and to, at the very least, tolerate them, if not celebrate them, because people who think differently bring out different facts and perspectives that make us all wiser. You see, we have this idea of free speech. Like, I like people to say what they want to say, and I like people to do what they want to do, generally. And I believe in the melting pot. I believe in the salad bowl, whatever the best analogy. I believe in a country where, you know, atheists and Jews and Muslims and Christians and Democrats and independents and atheists, and even once in a while, just for spice, a communist, you know, because it kind of reminds us where the rest of us all stand in terms of sanity, are all fine. But your vision is that nobody who doesn't align themselves with you politically and partisan-wise is ineligible for everything? That to me, okay, we're coming up on Memorial Day. That to me is not patriotism. 521 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, by the way, this got way worse at the zoning meeting at night.
There's more.
Yeah, oh no, there's more. It's a funny more, too. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're in the mood for that next vehicle, or whether you're in the mood or not, you know, if the car's not working, you need a new car. But look, Frontier Motors sells fantastic, good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices, good people. And they're the kind of cars that Dave Ramsey recommends you buy and drive for 15 years and then, you know, buy another one, right? That's the same thing I do. But one thing is, you know, like Dave Ramsey and me, we're just two people. Just two people. You know, we talk on the radio, but still we're just two. You know, like if you think about counting electors. Here's something, though. How many people are driving around endorsing Frontier Motors? And how you would know is by looking at the license plate frames and the bumper stickers. And what you'll find if you do the experiment is, you know, first day or two you're driving, you're at the stoplight, you look and you see one. And then the next day you see two. And then the next day you see four. And then eventually you're like, oh my God. Did anybody else buy cars anywhere else, right? But seriously, they're going to be all over by the time you train your eyes to it. And the only reason I say that is, and by the way, if you do this, you're actually going to get annoyed at me because you're like, I can't unsee it. I see used cars everywhere. And that's the point, though, because so many people have bought and had good experiences there. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than a quarter century, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Tune in today to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Sergeant First Class Lawrence Lee with Pace Army Recruiting will be on the show discussing how the United States Army has training to open new doors and pathways to success. Learn how you can serve in the ranks of the enlisted through the Army's active duty and reserves, or see if you qualify for the officer or warrant officer candidacy programs. That's today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, I think this guy's a couple cans short of a six-pack.
You're close. Give them to me. Now.
Anybody remember when Bill Paxton got a fist through his solar plexus?
Remember, it's great. Watch that movie because you're like, oh yeah, oh wow, Bill Paxton.
I know,
yeah.
Right? That doesn't seem right. 5:26 on News Radio 92.3. That's no way to greet the aliens. Although he's not, I guess the Terminator's not really an alien. He's an American.
He's born in America.
You know, just sort under of. Weird circumstances. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
A man who helped to orchestrate the January 6th Capitol riot will be spending 18 years in prison. Stuart Rhodes, he led the Oath Keepers, was found guilty of seditious conspiracy for trying to stop Congress from approving the 2020 election results. An international coalition is going to start training Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16 fighter jets. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin tells reporters that the training will be a significant undertaking. He says the Netherlands and Denmark are going to be leading the training in Europe in the next few weeks. And Mexican President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador asking Hispanic voters in Florida not to support Governor DeSantis in his run for president. He held a press conference yesterday and accused DeSantis of playing politics with migrants. And said he hopes that they won't give him a single vote, although that's likely a tall order as he had a lot of Hispanic support during his last run for governor.
Massive Hispanic support. And in fact, in South Florida, this is one of these things that people who don't live in Florida don't really know. But, you know, almost all of the Hispanics who live in South Florida are, you know, they're somehow related to refugees, often from Cuba, right? Very, very, very are demographic. You know, compared to what Hispanics might be in other parts of the country from other countries than those. But the ones who live in Florida are very, very Republican. Now, it's not all, okay? But, it, you know, in
yes,
terms
it
of...
Yes, it is.
I mean, if you look
okay,
at...
Okay, it's weird. Like, if you want to know why people vote Republican, ask a Cuban.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, we've seen what communism does, and so we're not into that. And if you look, like, in the legislature, what you find is that, all of the Hispanic, you know, ethnicity people are Republicans. And almost all of the black representatives and senators are Democrats, you know, and you're like, well, why is that? Well, I'm just telling you that's just how it is. And then, you know, whites are split, you know, I mean, mostly Republicans because the state is mostly Republican elected. 5:28 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I don't know if I want to get into this exactly. We kind of spent a bunch of time on this. Yeah, I'm done with that for now. This is the weirdest story. ABC did an investigative report where they did like the kind of crazy reporting. I mean, I hope they win awards for this. This is wild. They wanted to know whether plastic bags, like the kind that you take back to Walmart and put in the bin to be recycled, they wanted to know where they got recycled. So they put tracking devices in a bunch of plastic bags all over the nation and took them to Targets and Walmart to see, because Target also collects them, and took it to Targets and Walmart to see what happens. Almost none of them actually get recycled. This is a crazy story. They took, 46? Yeah, 46 trackers in plastic bundles across the country. And after many, many months, what they discovered is that half the trackers had pinged at landfills or trash incinerators. so they were definitely not getting recycled. Seven had stopped pinging at transfer stations that don't recycle or sort plastic bags, so they went to the pre-landfill, basically. They probably got smashed. And six actually stayed pinging at the store. The last time they sent out data was at the store they were dropped off and hadn't been heard from in months. And three were inconclusive. So three trackers wound up overseas in Asia, meaning we were exporting the plastic to Asia for the places that deal with waste over there, which are not very, you know, there are several countries over there that are so poor that they'll actually pay to take on our plastic waste. And then there were four. Four of ABC's trackers pinged from U.S. facilities that say they are involved with recycling plastic bags. It's just such an annoying thing, because that's what we do. I collect plastic bags, and I take them to Walmart every once in a while. In fact, I've got some in the trunk of my car to go to Walmart today. And now I've got to be like, that's just going to the landfill or to an incinerator, which is way worse, or just going to, like, you know, Malaysia or something. It's really good reporting. They dropped Target and Walmart from the list of approved facilities, by the way, now. They drop them off.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Members of Congress are off for the Memorial Day break. They could be called back to vote if a deal is reached on raising the nation's debt limit to avoid default in as soon as 6 days.
Any deal requires a combination of Democratic and Republican votes. Fox is told the plan would raise the debt ceiling by several trillion dollars. Conservatives believe that veers away from what the House approved last month. Some GOP members worry it's a cop-out.
Fox's Chad Pergam at the Capitol. A Texas House committee unanimously recommends impeaching State Attorney General Ken Paxton.
Wednesday, a panel of nonpartisan investigators reported there is strong evidence the state's top law enforcement officer broke the laws against abuse of office, bribery, and retaliation.
Greg Guggen with Fox 7 Austin. Paxton on Twitter calls the House investigation overturning elections behind closed doors. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 62 in Pensacola. Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Bergosh says he's been working hard to add lifeguard towers and lifeguards themselves to public beaches at access points 2 and 3 in Perdido Key. Wes Moreno says he's already budgeting for those towers.
Yeah, we'll get there. We're going to order the stands pretty quickly once it's approved by the board. I don't know they'll get here quickly. I don't know they'll get here before this season, but we'll be ready next fiscal year.
And Moreno says there's some chatter that the Gulf Islands National Seashore may not keep all of their lifeguards, and if that's the case, the county will shift those lifeguards down to Perdido. Santa Rosa County leaders awarding a $2.5 million contract towards the reconstruction of Taxiway B at the Peter Prince Airport. The low bidder was Panhandle Grading and Paving at $2,484,958. Commissioner Sam Parker says Panhandle's a family-owned company with a long track record of quality work while being fair with their pricing.
Are we being good stewards of tax dollars? In this case, I can tell you that if the bid would have been $500,000 more, we would have still accepted it as low bidder, but Panhandle Paving and Grading went above and beyond again, and this has been numerous times over the years that I've served on the board.
Commissioner Sam Parker says that in addition to taxiway reconstruction, the contractor is also going to be making some lighting improvements. Both Santa Rosa County and FDOT have pledged $91,855 towards the project. The remainder of the cost will be funded through the FAA. A Pensacola man will serve 20 years in prison for causing a crash last July that killed a 56-year-old woman and badly injured her son. Now, that crash happened on Massachusetts Avenue July 7th as 21-year-old Ladarian Wright was fleeing from Escambia County deputies at over 80 miles per hour. Ovetter Jenkins was killed in the crash just 2 months prior. Wright had fled another traffic stop attempted by deputies. In addition to the 20-year sentence, Wright had his driver's license revoked indefinitely. Well, after a couple of weeks now being open to the public, no major issues to report at the Blake Doyle Skate Park.
The calls for service are very low. I believe it's 24, and 14 of those were officer-initiated. In other words, they got out at the park and they were walking through. There has been nothing violent there. There's been nothing serious there. There was a disturbance Officers responded to that disturbance, and the person that was causing the disturbance happened to have a warrant out for him. So there was a disturbance and a warrant arrest at the same time. But
PPD spokesman Mike Wood there, and he says there was one case of vandalism, but they've already identified the suspect in that case. So far, he says the skate park has been quiet, peaceful, and a nice place. It's 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. A beautiful way to end the work week. We do have plenty of sunshine with temperatures around 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. Plenty of sunshine as we go into Memorial Day weekend. Sunshine for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Temperatures ranging from the low to mid 80s. Lows overnight in the 60s and 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 62 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, part of our tractor lineup rated number one in durability and owner experience, Z-Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Stop by your local Kubota dealer today. Bring home select BX Series equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, coming up next hour at 6:35, we're going to talk to Dr. Karen Barber, superintendent of Santa Rosa County Schools, do a wrap-up on last day of school for Santa Rosa. But right now, yesterday, we talked to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator, about a bunch of things, including Memorial Day weekend. It's a big weekend out on the beach. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you this morning. We're looking at Memorial Day weekend this weekend. That means a big event down at Park East. That means a lot of extra stress and challenge for public works, for the lifeguards. It's a big deal out on the beach this weekend, isn't it?
It is. It's a big deal. Of course, you know, it's been a big deal the past couple of weekends. We're rolling over 23,000 cars on the beach.
Yep.
But, yeah, it is a big deal. And so we're set up. You know, we start this preparation a couple of months in advance. And Pensacola Beach Public Works, is just, you know, they always knock it out of the park. But we have our box truck down there, all the supplies at Park East. We have the layout all in place, and people are starting to show up. And probably today you'll start seeing the presence down there. But it's just a good weekend, a good group down there. And we have Pensacola Beach Public Works is awesome. They don't get enough credit. You can advertise Pensacola Beach all you want to, but without Pensacola Beach Public Works, that beach would not be the top beach that it is. And so those men and women really get after it. And you wouldn't believe some of the tasks that they have to perform when it comes to cleaning bathrooms and some things and dealing with the public. You know, you got a public out there that takes liberty to to drink a little bit, and so you have to have your best interpersonal skills sometimes when you're dealing with those folks. But they just do a fantastic job, and I really appreciate them.
It is my perception at a distance, okay? I've never gone to the event either during or, you know, after to see any of the cleanup. I've seen all the pictures and the coverage and whatnot. It seems to me like go back 5 years, and it really was a mess. And people make a mess, and people who are partying make a mess. That's sort of understandable. Look at Blue Angels weekend, you know, out on Casino Beach. But it seems to me like we've sort of hit our groove in terms of how to stage, how to prepare, how to interact with the organizers, what kinds of things they tell their people, and then how quickly we get in there and clean up along the way. And then when it's done, that basically by the morning after, it's like it didn't even happen. It seems like we've figured out a system for processing this event. Is that your take as well?
Absolutely. When we brought Pensacola Beach worked into Escambia County, that was one of the first things that I talked about with the then division manager. I said, "We're going to be successful. We're not going to repeat what's been done in the past." And so we did. We put a system together, put a plan in place, and it's good. And you know, no matter how good the plan is, without cooperation of the crowd or the group, you know, it makes it difficult. But we have full cooperation. It's just a good event down there. And when they leave, everything, like you said, it looks like they've never been there. I'll be honest with you, I can't always say the same for Casino.
Right.
I showed up one Casino parking lot one Memorial Day, and it looked like a herd of elephants had been through there. And so I started picking up trash with the rest of them because we had a crowd coming. So it's a never-ending task out there on the beach. But our guys, men and women, they do a great job.
No, I agree with that. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, you know, Jeff Bergosh has been making some, you know, announcements and rumblings about wanting to have, obviously, with the 75-foot, which we still think that's true, right? There's 75-foot of access on the Perdido Beach for the public. Is that right? We still think that's correct for those parcels? Okay.
Yep.
And now he's been talking about, out of his discretionary money, buying some lifeguard towers for beach accesses 2 and 3, and then staffing guards out on Perdido Key. And all my one question about this is, I know that the lifeguard folks go above and beyond to recruit the lifeguards we do have, and I'm concerned about how easy or hard it might be to be able to rustle up another couple dozen lifeguards to staff guarding. I mean, I'm on board with the idea, the goal, but where are you going to find these people? You can't just snap your fingers and make them appear, plus management structure and resources at a completely different location. You tell me, how easy or hard is it going to be able to fulfill that request from the commissioner if he makes it?
Well, yeah, you're right. It can be difficult at times to find lifeguards. You know, most of them are late teens and early college students during the summer that come out. But we do have, you know, options made, possible options. I talked to Eric about this day before yesterday, and when we were going through their budget. And so I'm accounting for that cost in their budget. But
you're budgeting for it now. Okay. All right. That's interesting news. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
I am budgeting for it now. I heard Commissioner Bergosh and his directives and his initiatives, what he wants to do out there. So yeah, we started budgeting for it. We're talking about it. Gulf Islands National Seashore, I don't know if they're going to keep their lifeguards. There's some chatter that they may not. And so if they don't, then we will, you know, because we man that as well.
Right, right.
We'll just shift those lifeguards down to Perdido, and we'll utilize them there. But we'll work through it, and we'll make it happen one way or the other. And we'll get there. We're going to order the stands pretty quickly once it's approved by the board. I don't know they'll get here quickly. I don't know they'll get here before this season, but we'll be ready next fiscal year.
And look, again, just to be clear, I'm with him in the objective. I mean, if you're going to basically treat this as a public beach, because it is, and we know we have safety issues there because we've seen the news stories and the tragedies, staffing guards there, I agree, it's absolutely a priority. I'm just, you know, it's not like we're going half speed on recruiting lifeguards. We do everything we can to recruit guards. And, you know, so maybe if the seashore doesn't have them, maybe we can, you know, or doesn't use them, maybe that'll help out a bit. Pulse Point, this incredibly useful app for tracking fire and EMS response to emergencies in Escambia County, has been not working for a couple of weeks. Have we abandoned that entirely? And is there a replacement?
We have abandoned it, and there is a replacement. You know, Pulse Point was part of what we were hoping to get out of it was mainly volunteers. When they're en route, hey, I'm en route to the scene, and it really wasn't working for us in that regard, so we decided to go with a different app. And Andrew, I can't remember the name of the app at the moment.
Okay.
But we are using a different app to accomplish that goal. It lets us know a little better when firefighters and emergency staff are en route to the scene or en route to the firehouse to get to the scene. So that's what we've done.
Okay, I'll look forward to finding out the new one and, you know, seeing how well that works. I know it was a great information resource for a lot of people that care to follow this stuff, and it was kind of a, you know, all of a sudden it wasn't there, and that was kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
One thing that I know you're a roads guy, roads and bridges guy, and what I consider to be a major announcement last week, just after you and I talked, was that the bridge at the basically the low point on Longleaf by the Eager Beaver and the concrete crushing there east of George Stone, that bridge is getting demolished, and is it yesterday? Today, I think, is when it goes out of service for, like, 2 months. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're on a tight time frame there. We're trying to accomplish this work while school is out.
Yep.
And so it will have less of an impact to the public. But, yeah, so, you know, it's part of the widening project and the road project through there, and it is to be replaced. And so it'll be on a fast track, so to speak, if you call that a fast track. But, it goes out, and then we'll demo it and then replace it. Also, there'll be some utility work going on in that area as well.
And of course, for people who live in that vicinity, like I think of the UPS drivers, I mean, that's a huge parade of trucks every day. And anybody who tries to go east-west now has to go, either to Brent, Michigan, or they have to go to I-10. And so that's a major workaround. Mm-hmm. Last thing I wanted to bring up with you for today is I talked yesterday about this with Mayor D.C. Reeves. I saw something in Destin that showed me that something I have believed should be true for decades and just didn't know if it was legally possible. They have a shared athletic space with the elementary school where when the kids are not present, the fields and a bunch of additional resources, including bathrooms, are open to the public. And I have always believed, like when we were kids, we used to go play basketball at the school and we used to go play baseball at the school and we would play frisbee and ride our bikes at the school when the school wasn't in session because there were no fences. Then somebody got the idea that we ought to protect all of these things and put fences up, maybe for the safety of the kids, sure, but that wound up putting the public out. In Florida, apparently, Destin does it. I wish we could make all of the schools and their facilities and their fields and their tennis courts and their play structures be open to the public, like C.A. Weiss is open to the public when it's not in session. I know it's not your choice to make because you run the county, not the school board, but is this something you'd be willing to approach the school board about and say, well, look, hey, we can partner somehow or other. Let's get these facilities open to the public.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, have that conversation and see kind of what some of their concerns are. You know, I agree. When I was a kid, ironically, Warrenton Middle School, that's where I went. It was close to our neighborhood, and we'd go play basketball at Warrenton Middle School all the time. Me and my dad and some friends, we'd go up there all the time. And Pine Forest High School, we'd go a little bit later, we'd go play tennis there and on those courts. And so, yeah, there's a lot of amenities there that really go unused when the school's not in session.
Yeah, and I think
I'm assuming it has to do with vandalism and those sorts of things. But, yeah, I think it's worth the conversation.
Great. I would love to see that happen. And also just because, you know, taxpayers are buying that stuff, taxpayers seems like we should be able to use it when it's not in session. After all, think of all the money that the county spends on amenities to sort of give alternatives to what is already available in the schools. I would just – anyway, it's just – that makes sense to me, and I love to hear people being supportive of that. So I appreciate that if you'd, maybe try and see if there can't be something made in that direction. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for what you do for the county. No meeting today, so a little bit of a breather during budget season. You're still busy. But thank you for the time today and telling our folks what's going on in the county, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. Hey, we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. And I'm just very encouraged by all of that. I was actually, you know, talking about that lifeguard issue. The point is that we just don't have, we barely have enough all the time at the beach, right? You know, and they do a lot to recruit. Okay, I mean, we have enough, but sort of we're not running a big surplus. and they get used, you know, and you just can't add a big old patrol area to the current staff without having trouble. And, you know, what he said about maybe Fort Pickens, Gulf Islands, maybe not needing them, that would be an interesting development. But there was actually, it was kind of weird. We brought this up with Wes yesterday. There was a national news story on NBC this morning all about how there is a nationwide shortage of lifeguards. Yeah, on all of the beaches and all the pools, and pools and beaches across the country are having to be closed or go without guards. And pools can't operate without guards. Beaches, you might say, we just don't have them. But, you know, this is a challenge across the country. At the same time, again, just to be clear, I agree with Commissioner Burgosh that if we're going to have open public beaches, we really need to have guards for them. But you just can't snap your finger and make it happen, right? And, of course, we don't have guards in all the beaches across the whole area. There are beaches that you go, you know, Johnson Beach and, you know, down towards the east to Park East. Not this weekend, you know, but, you know, like other weekends. I mean, you know, just there aren't guards on the seashore, for example. So you don't have guards everywhere. You just have we've made the commitment that in order to keep our beaches safe, we want to have them where the public is going to go. And if you open up Perdido Key or you announce that Perdido Key has always been open and we just didn't know it, either way, you're going to have a lot of people go down there. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have never been to Pensacola Hardware, just go. Just go. I feel like I'm just trying to do you a favor. Like, I'm just trying to get you to, first of all, find a great place to buy your stuff. I mean, that's okay. But really, just, like, it's a Pensacola institution. Seriously. It's like, you know, go to the place that is the oldest business in the entire state of Florida and find out why. Well, the why is because it's amazing. And, you know, the front of the store has all these housewares and cool things. Like, for example, if you like Yeti stuff, they have like a shrine of Yeti. I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
Stuff you didn't even know Yeti made.
Exactly. Like, you'll go in there like, you know, you'll buy all the gifts for all of your birthdays for the next 5 years. It's easy, right? So,
Father's Day.
Right. And it's the kind of place where, like, your grandfather, you know, not yours because you haven't been yet, but, you know, your grandfather might have taken your father, might have taken you, and you might take your, you know, like, it's just that kind of a place. So here's all I'm saying. Okay, you might not be in the middle of some big remodel project, and that's fine. Just this weekend, just go. Just go so you can say you've been, at the very least. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851.
April showers bring May savings at Beret Jewelers. We're ringing in spring with special deals on your shining favorites during Beret's Blooming Blowout Sale. Save up to 70% on select pieces May 5th through May 31st. From top designers to beautiful bridal jewelry, you'll find something to love. So hurry into shop and save up to 70% off during the spring sale of the season. All month long at Beret Jewelers.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket, a lawn chair, just remember no pets or glass, and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Christy T's Bad Juju. They've been a staple in Pensacola for the last 8 years, and if you've got dancing shoes, they'll help you wear them out. They'll play the top 40 hits from the 60s all the way up to today, including Motown and The Obscure. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
The most perfectly matched sound clip and song ever.
100%.
I think that probably this is what Golem listens to, is LDN. Yeah, probably, or Lily Allen.
I love Lily Allen.
She's so fun. 553 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I'm precious. That's right. David Wayne is in the news, who's also very precious, with our headlines. David.
You're precious.
Stormy Daniels says she regrets coming forward about the alleged affair with former President Donald Trump. The adult film star told UK TV she fears Trump will get away with criminal charges tied to hush money payouts to hide an alleged affair ahead of the 2016 election. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration predicting a near normal 23 Atlantic hurricane season. The official government forecast calling for 12 to 17 named storms with anywhere from 5 to 9 hurricanes and 1 to 4 major hurricanes of Category 3 and higher. And a federal jury has now awarded $27 million in damages to a man that spent 2 decades in prison after being wrongfully convicted of starting a deadly fire in Chicago 30 years ago. Adam Gray was apparently only 14 when he was accused of starting the fire at a home in Chicago. And he sued the city. Gray was awarded that money yesterday. The jury found that the police there had coerced his confession, fabricated evidence, and violated his civil rights.
Unbelievable. And you know, I'm not naive enough to believe that things like this never happen anymore, but it is horrendous the degree to which it happened so much more in the past. And we've done a lot to reform police agencies, and they're so much better these days. But, yeah, this kind of stuff is – I'm not saying it was common either, but, you know, way more common than it would ever be today. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice or the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday.
All right, up next, we're going to go ahead and move to presentations. We've got the fine folks from Country 98.7 here to present a check to Santa Rosa Kids House.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you for having us once again today. I'd also like to invite our friends from not only the Santa Rosa Kids House, but also Juana's Pagodas and Sailor's Grill up here. And this will be the fourth time we've stood before you to make this presentation.
The Spring Jam Check. This is something that Cat Country does every year to help Santa Rosa Kids House. It's a wonderful fundraising event put on with Juana's Pagodas, and they bring a bunch of cash. Well, I mean, they bring a big check, but, you know, it's a bunch of cash every year.
We are not used to having Spring Jam with a wind chill factor of 38. So, I'm Brent, this is Mel, and of course this is Dave and Mary Hoxing, who are our local 92% owners of Cat Country 98.7, and for the fourth year, we put together Spring Jam to help the Santa Rosa Kids House. So, Keith Ann, Wendell, come on up here. We have a check for the cat to make a presentation with. It's a really big cat with a really big check. So this check is for $21,888.92 this year.
Woohoo! Nicely done. And the grand total over 4 years?
So we did some math this morning. This is the fourth year, and this cumulative total for Santa Rosa Kids House is $98,000 in the last 4 years. So thank you for your mission. Very, very much.
So you had former Sheriff Wendell Hall there and Keith Ann Campbell, who is Santa Rosa Kids House Executive Director, talking about the value of this fundraiser for them.
Because of Cat Country and the support of the community, we have tripled the amount of therapy we're able to help the children. In 2021, we only had about 600 hours, and in 2022, 1,633 hours of therapy free to children who have been abused.
It's just fantastic. It really is. And, of course, the impact that that has on Santa Rosa County, helping those kids.
With your support, with the community support, and thank you so much for Cat Country. They helped us and stepped in right when we needed it, and they continue to help us and support us. So thank you.
No, it's fantastic. Even Colton Wright, the commissioner, took a moment to talk about the – and by the way, in case you just happen to not know, and it's easy to not know a lot of things, Cat Country is our sister station. Like, we're in the same building. Like, Brent and Mel are, like, 50 feet to the north right now, like, through, you know, two walls. So
that's right.
Dave and Mary Hoxing, our owners, put together a radio station cluster that is emphatic about serving the local community.
Dave, Mary, thank you for everything you guys do with your station, your constant community support. Santa Rosa Kids House, the amazing work you do for children that have been traumatized and dealt with some of the, likely the worst event in their entire life and what you do to help rehabilitate them. And you folks over at Juana's, thanks for providing the venue And it's good to see that new big stage being put to use and doing some good work in the community. So, yeah, let's get a picture.
Oh, that's fantastic. So kudos to Cat Country and for Brent and Mel and the production folks, promotions folks, and for Dave and Mary creating radio stations that allow us to do what we do. And I've been all over the country doing radio, and I've never seen anywhere where we do it like this. It's just, you know, I knew how to talk on the radio.
Oh, no,
but,
same.
But yeah. The, like, community service side of it just was, you know, and, you know, local emphasis, that's all. That's because you have a non, you know, they're not owned by some massive media conglomeration like most radio stations in the country, and many even here, you know, in Pensacola are.
No, like all the rest.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's just, it's a very unique situation that, again, I've never seen anywhere, and I'm so glad it exists here. So I don't take it for granted ever, because I've seen it done the other way. And anyway, just happy for them, and I appreciate the fact that I have a job because of what they've
done. Listen on air at 90.